Music provided by Armstrong. Visit armstrongofficial.com to hear more badass music. Welcome to the TriCast Gaming Podcast.
Greetings and welcome everyone to episode number 78 of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Grimlock, aka Philip Keeney, and I am joined tonight by the firstborn, aka Adam Garcia. Adam, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm not too bad. It's been not too bad of a week. So I've got a little bit of energy coming into this show. Sometimes, you know, I have to psych myself up for it, but I actually have a little bit of energy to talk about video games tonight because week hasn't been too rough. How about yourself?
Yeah. I've been good. Still kind of in the training phase at my new job. Have I told you about that?
I mean, you've told me a lot about your new job, but I guess I didn't know that you were like a training phase.
Yeah, because this is my second week officially at the new job. For those that are listening, I'm officially the quote unquote associate producer of a different podcast, you know, editing their stuff. But last week was the sole like training. This is what we're going to do this week. This week is like, okay, we're letting the reins loose a little bit. We're going to let you go on your own. And I got a compliment already by one of the clients. And they said that this episode sounded amazing. It's seamless and blah, blah, blah. And it's the second episode that I did for them. And I was like, cool.
That's good. That's
that works good for me.
We got like a professional editor on this show. Booyah.
Yeah.
That's it's awesome. Cool. No, I'm happy for you, man. I know that it was a good find on the job front, and you really needed that. So definitely happy for you. I'm glad that it's going well. Do they do a weekly show as well, or how does theirs work?
They release episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's like three times a week.
Yeah. And is it okay if I name it on this podcast?
I mean, that's fine with me. I'm okay with that.
Okay, I wasn't sure, so that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
The podcast that I work for is called Modern CTO, where they interview like big executives, like CTOs, CEOs, CISOs for major companies. So, I mean, it's cool. I like it. It's you learn a lot of things listening to that.
Yeah, I bet. Like, I was reading through some of the show notes, and I was like, oh, I've recognized a lot of this terminology being, you know, I guess a corporate 9-to-5 office desk jockey, whatever you want to call me. I don't know. Yeah. But my regular day job, I am in a pretty corporate environment. So I recognize a lot of the terminology there. Maybe I could learn something from it. I am technically, I think I'm what's considered, what do they call it? It's not even middle management. It's like below middle management.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like on the first rung of it. So maybe I could learn something from listening to these CEOs and such talk. But I think that's really awesome, dude. And definitely shout out to the podcast. I mean, if y'all want to go listen to some business stuff, it's totally different to what we normally do. But yeah. I mean, maybe like completely 180 degrees the opposite direction. But you know, still go check out what Adam's work is over there and see how, you know, Primetime Podcast still using the same editor as us. So
yeah,
we're the real deal here.
Yes, sir.
No, that's great. And I guess, you know, something else that's kind of exciting for us is that we've been kind of talking with Aaron Brooke again. Maybe we might be able to have him on the show again. That'd be really exciting. So
yeah, the chances are pretty high on that one because he's the one that suggested it in a way.
Yeah. Aaron, if you're checking out the show, I emailed you. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I did email you, but hey, yeah, we'd love to have you back on the show and chat about games again. I mean, you seem like you've got a wealth of knowledge, maybe even more than your host here. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe we should do some back of the box with Aaron and see how well he really knows video games.
I am 100% down with that.
All right. Well, to kind of address, it's just me and Adam tonight. Jason, you know, not to bring the mood down just a little bit, but Jason sadly lost his grandmother this week, and our thoughts with him and hoping that this week goes well for him. And that's why he's out from the show this week. And Mike is just a scrub. That's what he does. So, just me and Adam holding down the fort and, thoughts with Jason in the meantime. But, otherwise it's you and me. So you know what that means, right, Adam?
Is this turning into a Lifehouse song?
No, this is turning into a Cobra Kai discussion. That is what this is turning into, because it's you and me.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Cobra Kai a little bit. Forewarning, if you haven't seen the show and you want to not have anything spoiled, maybe skip forward about 5-10 minutes here. Actually, everybody, breaking news into the show. It took us about 20 minutes to get through all of our Cobra Kai spoilers. So I think it's about minute 24 you might want to jump to if you don't want season 4 spoiled. Love you guys. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you do actually listen to it, and if not, come back to it later on. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show. But yeah, let's talk about some Cobra Kai, man.
Yes.
What did you think of season 4?
I was about, let's say, 80% satisfied 80%. With the whole thing.
Okay.
80% satisfied. Mainly because, like, I love the fact that it picked up where it did. It was like almost immediate, an immediate pickup from the moment that they left off. And I was like, cool, we're not going to miss any time. There's not going to be no time gaps, right. No flashbacks. And I was super excited. Like, the first thing you see is Terry Silver. Like, I'm just like, yes, let's bring him back. And then, like, I was immediately like, what's going on? And then fast forward to the end of the season, I was like, okay, I get the reasons why they're doing this, but, like, I don't get, like, everything. Like, even at the very final scene, like, whenever he's talking to Mr. Miyagi's grave, I thought he was talking to Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, I thought he was just straight talking to Mr. Miyagi, but then obviously the character from Japan who was in season 1, I think he had parts in season 1.
No, he was in, it was last season that he showed up.
Oh, it was last season?
Yeah, season 3.
I swear that character from Japan was also in season 1, but whatever. Yeah, I guess that just shows you how sometimes my memory fades together. But then, obviously, I assume he was in some of the original movies as well, right?
Yeah, that's whenever in Karate Kid 2 when they go to Okinawa. Right,
when they go to, yeah.
And then
he shows up at the end, and it turns out that that he was talking to him. I really did think he was just talking to the grave as well. Like, was he? And the guy just walked up, and he didn't realize he was there, or?
Yeah, maybe, but. I kind of feel like he did call Chosen and was like, yeah, like he knew that this is bad. And so he called him up. That, like, what that scene was probably like a day or two after the events at the All Valley.
Maybe so. I mean, certainly things don't look good. That's for sure.
No. But the one thing that I was really confused about is when Miguel decided to go to Mexico. To find his dad.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that coming. I mean, like, because, you know, you have the whole scene where I'm, like, just completely, like, I can't even remember. Like, I'm sorry. My brain is gone for names tonight. I can't even remember our main character for some reason all of a sudden.
Johnny?
I am talking about Johnny. Thank you. But... opposite Johnny. Why is my brain dead right now? Help me, Adam.
Miguel?
No.
Daniel.
Daniel, yes. Karate Kid himself. I don't know why. My brain is just shut down. So we have the scene when Johnny is drunk, right? After everything that had happened. And right. Miguel comes over to see him. And Johnny tells him that he loves him. And Miguel is like, oh, you know, I love you too. You're doing like a great job. And Johnny says, I thank you for telling me that. Robbie. And again, see, my names are just gone. His son, Johnny's son.
Yeah, Robbie.
Robbie, yes, thank you. And then you see that, like, that moment when, like, Miguel just, like, almost burst into tears. Like, dude, I almost cried there. I was like, oh, God, that's crushing for Miguel, especially since Robbie had stuck the knife in him just earlier that night in the episode.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think when you have that, and then you have the moment at the All Valley when Johnny tries to pressure Miguel, and so, like, Miguel really feels like this disconnect from Johnny at this point. Mm-hmm. I felt like it kind of made sense that he went off to Mexico to try to find his actual dad. But yeah, but you also now have Johnny in a situation where he actually kind of reconnects with Robbie, has the hug with him, and now what? He's going to skip off to Mexico and he's going to be like, yeah, sorry, Robbie, I'm not here for you now that we're finally reconnecting because I got to go take care of Miguel, you know?
Right.
So I could see there being a storyline there, right, as well, which would be really frustrating because you're just kind of like, you really just want Robbie and Johnny to kind of reconnect as father and son finally, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I'm still wondering when we're gonna see the other dude, Mike Barnes.
Mike Barnes, you're looking for me for name help tonight?
I had to think about it for a second. I was like, I know it, but it's Mike Barnes.
Okay.
But I'm wondering when he's going to pop up, because surely he will at some point. Like, I'm half expecting him to be Miguel's dad. But at the same time, I'm like, no, I don't think that would be Miguel's dad.
I mean, is there any main characters from the original movies left that haven't showed up in the show now? I mean, Terry Silver was the big, big one, I guess, that we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen... I don't even know this girl's name. She's on Karate Kid 4, the next Karate Kid. Like, okay, after Daniel had left. Like, that's the only one that hasn't been referenced at all, but that's right, the one that Mr. Miyagi was still involved with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also kind of half expecting that to be what's her name's mom? Tori.
Oh, Tori's mom? Okay. Yeah, I actually feel like we're seeing a little bit of a redemption of Tori, too, which if Robbie's redeemed and Tori's redeemed, what does Cobra Kai itself actually have left? It was a very interesting scene there at the end when Tori sees Terry Silver paying off the referee, and he had actually paid off the referee.
Yeah, that was a bunch of BS.
Yeah. So, I mean, what does Cobra Kai have left at that point?
It has Kyler, and then I don't remember the kid's name. That, you know, that little kid, the little brother.
Yeah, that was the little brother of one of Robbie's friends that was in juvie. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't remember his name. Again, don't look for me for names, man.
Yeah, he's the one that I don't remember because it's still too new. I mean, I've already seen the season 3 times, oh, but that gosh, I can't not remember that name.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't remember that either. And I don't know, what do you think about the dynamic between Terry Silver and Mr. Bad himself? Which, again, I'm drawing blanks on names here, you know, right? But he's got him put in prison, right? He's like, you know what? I'm tired of you trying to manipulate me. I'm going to take over Cobra Kai. I'm going to put you in prison.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen there? Are we suddenly going to see this weird alliance where Johnny, Danny, and Mr. Bad are trying to work together to take down Terry Silver?
I think that, okay, whenever Kreese had given him...
Kreese, thank you.
You're welcome. Whenever there was a look that he gave Johnny, like, towards the end, like, at the final moments of the women's match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so something's up. Like, he's starting to backtrack a little bit, which you've never seen him do in anything
right
so far.
And Terry Silver, sorry, real quick, Terry Silver actually mentions that right at the end where he's like, your weakness, Kreese, is Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah, he did mention that.
Yeah.
I think that did soften him up a little bit, made him more vulnerable, because had he had been on his normal A game, he probably would have saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it really threw me off whenever Stingray was being beaten and then you come to find out that he was setting him up the whole time. Like, I was like, what the heck? Like, came way out of left field.
Yeah, that was the one plot point, I think, in the series that I was like, oh, what? Oh, okay. I mean, it was weird that you suddenly, like, don't see how any of that ends and you don't see Stingray again. And then for a couple episodes, right? I think maybe that's why it felt so weird.
Yeah. it threw me off, but I think now, like, since Silver had got rid of his weakness, quote unquote, he feels like he's invincible. So we're going to see the return of the crazy side of Silver times 1,000. That's right. What I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's sort of the natural next place for the show to go, right? Cause you always need your villain. Basically you need your foil opposite, Danny LaRusso and Johnny, what's Johnny's last name?
Lawrence.
Thank you. Which, you know, like season one, what the foil was Johnny Lawrence, right? Or actually the foil really was each other, right? Which has always been the great thing. And they continue that through season four, where like they're each other's own worst enemy. Like they're still playing that like side of like Danny is not all perfect and Johnny is not all bad. And I do really like that portion of the show, because, you know, it does. I mean, it is important to realize that life is complicated. You know, life is not always black and white, which sometimes movies try to make things look black and white. And I do like that about the show.
Yeah. And it's actually a reference to one of the episodes in season one. Johnny actually says that.
What? That life is not always black and white.
Yeah. More often than not, it's gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. And what did you think of, Danny's daughter, and her progression and how she kind of gets intrigued by Eagle Fang Karate.
Yeah, it's a stupid name, by the way. I still think Eagle Fang doesn't make any sense, but that's neither here nor there. But I kind of saw that coming, like especially after the fight at the school. Like I knew eventually she was just going to harden up to the point to where there was just going to be no return. And I think she actually hit that point once Tori showed it back up at school.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. And of course we got this whole, again, playing the theme of like life's not always black and white. We get the whole side of Tori and how, you know, Danny's wife, kind of sees that side of her and starts to feel bad for her and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, her heart's in the right place. I give her that.
Yeah.
You know, she turns on the mother card more often than not, but I don't know. Everyone needs forgiveness at some point, but at what level?
Yeah, because, I mean, Tori is, she's a pretty angry person, right? But,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, when your life is as hard as hers has been, maybe that's where that comes from, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But it's like Sam said in the show, you know, everyone's got a sob story. It doesn't give you a right to be a bully.
Right, yeah. No, that is true. That is true. But
at the same time, there's a side to every coin.
Yeah.
Or there's two sides to every coin.
So I guess if I were to give my sort of overall like opinion on the show, I think season four, I think it was better than season three. I actually really disliked how season three ended. And season two, actually, for that matter. The like super bombastic, massive fight scenes where like stuff gets broken, whether it's Miguel's back or
Danny's house.
I actually really don't like that. I think it's kind of dumb, honestly. <Yeah. laughs> So I much prefer the seasons that end at the All Valley, right?
Yeah.
At the All Valley tournament. So from that regard, I actually did quite like this season across the board, but nothing's going to be as strong as season one.
Oh, no.
And so I think it fell quite a bit short of that there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we're starting to get towards the end of Cobra Kai as a show. But I've definitely enjoyed every bit of it. It's been a fun ride. It almost makes me sad when I watch it because I think a lot of the nostalgia of that show and of my childhood and everything like that, which is what they're playing for. But it almost makes me sad watching it, realizing how I'm getting older and, you know, these people, like, especially when they do the throwback scenes and you see them from when like the original movies came out and you're like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, the guy who plays Danny LaRusso is in his mid-50s, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. It is, sometimes it's tough watching it from that perspective. It's a little bit sad.
Yeah. It's best not to think about details like that.
It's true. I think I'm a deeply like nostalgic person at heart though. So like it's best not to, but very hard for me not to think about those things.
Oh yeah, I agree. But the one thing that they introduced that was new, like especially in the All Valley, was the skills competitions. Like, dude, I loved that part of it. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do some really stupid gimmick when they were like, all right, we've got the plan. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like some really stupid gimmick, but no, the skills competition was pretty cool. And breaking it out to like a boys and girls competition, I think is neat too, because it provided an opportunity to have your sub protagonists and antagonists, you know, face off against each other, mm-hmm. which is really good too, I think, for the show. I was really surprised that they decided to make Hawk the like number one on the quote good side.
Yeah, I was surprised at that too. But it's if you ask Shelly, like we were watching that together for the first time, and I'm on the edge of my seat. And the second he won the champ, I was like, yes, like screaming, like I'm actually there. Like,
yeah,
I got into it, man.
I genuinely didn't know which way they were going to go with it.
Yeah, me neither.
Like whether or not Robbie was going to win and then Sam would win on the female side. But then I realized, oh, as soon as like they put the male fight first, I was like, oh, Robbie's going to lose because they kept saying about like, oh, like, you know, Miyagi-Do has to win both to beat Cobra Kai. And I was like, well, they're not going to go into the second final with Cobra Kai already having won. So yeah. I kind of had already, you know, seen that they were going to have Robbie lose. But nevertheless, I was still uncertain for long parts of that episode as to how it was going to play out.
Yeah. But I will say that, like, Robbie, throughout the whole competition, I was looking at him like, dude, like, you have changed, like, completely. Like, your attitude is, like, you're a different person.
Yeah, he like, did. Just, he softened way down by the end of the season.
Yeah. But like especially when he was fighting that little brother dude, man, like, you can see it in his eye. He was ready to kill.
Well, yeah, I just said he softened, but then, yeah, you're right. He does. He does go, like, for the kill there. Like, it's a weird dynamic for Robbie. Like, he's definitely dealing with the emotions of what does he do? Like, where is his drive at? And I always wondered, like, the little kid, like, what was the purpose of bringing him into the show? And really, he is the foil for Robbie's redemption. That's basically what he is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
'Cause it's how that little kid changes and who he becomes is what drives Robbie back towards, like, you know, sort of normalcy and realization of where he's gone.
Yeah, he went back to being neutral instead right. of more extreme to one side or the other.
Right. Yeah. But he did go for blood on that kid yeah. in that fight.
Especially that final kick. I was like, oh damn! Like,
yeah.
It looked bad. I mean,
his emotions were definitely being toyed with by Kreese.
Oh yeah.
So for real there.
He is a master manipulator, that's for sure.
Yes, yes he is. And I think that part of like what happened there and him seeing the kid in the locker room afterwards, like it really started opening his eyes to like, I thought I was in control of the situation and I am not. 100% not. Kreese is controlling me. I'm not helping this kid the way I wanted to help him. You know, it really helped open his eyes to that.
Yeah, it did.
So, all right. Well, anything else about Cobra Kai season 4? We ended up spoiling for 20 minutes. Maybe we ought to, like, you know, at the end record a little bit where I'm like, actually, it's 20 minutes. Skip to, like, minute whatever.
And then wouldn't you be the can first edit time that we did back that. In.
So, all right. Should we move on to some video games?
Absolutely.
All right, yeah, because you know what? Each and every week we do get together to channel our virtues through the Triforce to provide you, the listener, all the hottest topics from the mythical world of video games. We also add in as much of our colorful thoughts and fill up monologues as we can handle in a week simply because we love video games and talking about them. And if you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a like and a review on your podcasting app of choice. I noticed today that we're one short of double-digit reviews on Apple Podcasts. So go and be our fancy number 10 there. And if you really enjoy it, please do consider sharing on social media or directly with your friends. The show continues to grow thanks to all of your wonderful support. And the show is growing. looking at the trends, you know, we are trending up and up and up and up across the life of the show. So I'm not blowing smoke up you guys. You definitely are helping this show grow. We are growing, and we're seeing, you know, record numbers for us every week. So thank you everybody for what you're doing. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at TriCastGamingP1, and on our website, TriCastGamingPodcast.com. DM us on any platform with your questions, and we'll be happy to read them on the show. All right, corrections. We don't have any this week. Actually, Jason managed to keep himself in line and not screw anything up last week, so fair play to him. So let's move right on into what we are playing this week. Adam, I'm going to kick it to you first because I've got kind of a bit to say about the gunk. So why don't you start?
Well, I just played one game, and that game is Rocksmith. And the reason I just played Rocksmith is because it's just, I got addicted to it again. Long story short. So here's the thing. Recently, I guess this is because of my age, I don't know, but the muscle between your index finger and your thumb, this part right here, since Phil can see me.
Yeah.
Like when I'm like trying to use my tools, like, you know, like even just a screwdriver, like if I'm trying to cut like ribs, like that muscle will cramp and it will hurt. And like, I've went to the doctor. They said, no, you don't have rheumatoid arthritis. We got to figure something else out because something's up. And when I played Rocksmith, you know, after my dad died, like I noticed like it was hurting real bad. And so I didn't play it that often. But this last weekend, I was like, I really want to play, so I'm just going to power through it. And so I started playing, and I just kept playing. And next thing you know, 5 hours later, I'm still playing the guitar, and it doesn't hurt. And I'm like, did I just like work through it, or did I put something back in place, or what? Or was the guitar the magic healer the whole time? I don't know, but I was playing my guitar for 5 hours off and on, basically, like two hours at a time, basically.
That's awesome.
And I was like, hell yeah. So like it motivated me to play more. So that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. No, that's
streamed it.
That's great. That's awesome.
So, I streamed it to the point when I told Aaron that I streamed it. I was like, yeah, I streamed Rocksmith for the first time. I'm probably going to do that just for my Extra Life streams on Twitch. And he's like, yeah, I've never actually seen Rocksmith. So if I see that you're playing on it, I'll watch your stream. And I'm like, all right, cool. Cause he's never seen it. I always talk about it to him, but he's never ever played it.
Yeah. I've never actually seen Rocksmith played either. I might have to check out your stream.
Yeah.
I always envision it as very similar to like Guitar Hero, but maybe they're not even close. I don't know.
It is similar, except you have to know what strings you're holding. So that's the only challenge. You actually have to play the guitar.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I actually always wish that I was musically inclined. I love music. I really have a deep emotional connection to music, but I am not musically inclined, as in like I cannot play an instrument. And I don't really know musical notes very well and things like that. And I always wish like if I could go and be like, God, give me one other like little thing. I don't even need to be very good at it. I just want to be good enough that I can like play it and enjoy music, like physically playing it on the same level that I emotionally enjoy it.
I love playing music. I learn everything wrong all the time. So, but a good example of that is with all the Breaking Benjamin stuff I learned through like songbooks, you know, like the ones that you buy from the store.
Right.
And I asked Aaron, I was like, okay, I know you're probably going to, you know, break my, you're going to blow my mind by saying this, but how accurate are these books? And he's like, dude, they're not accurate at all. And I was like, dang it. So I've been playing them wrong the whole time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I still have fun playing them regardless.
Gotcha. Yeah. But actually, I don't know if you know this, but my dad is really into playing guitar.
Really?
And actually that was his original passion. He used to really love playing electric guitar. Uh-huh. And he sold his electric guitars to buy his first go-kart and get into racing way back in his like mid late 20s. But he had a really, really nice acoustic guitar. I don't know how much he paid for it. I mean, I think he said like at the time, like in the late 70s when he bought it, it was like a $500 or $600 guitar, which if you can imagine, like for someone in high school in the 70s, late 70s, that was probably like really expensive, right, for him. Yeah. But he always kept that and he always played it. And then he got really into like Irish music and playing like, you know, like the penny whistle. Everyone's heard of like the penny whistle before, right? You know, a little tin whistle. He got really into that. And then he picked up the flute and he started playing the flute and really got into percussion as well. There's an Irish drum called the Bowron that he played really well. He actually competed in Ireland as an American playing an Irish instrument at like their All-Ireland championships. And he won our area. So like in Ireland, it's divided into like it's divided into 32 counties, like we're used to. And then those 32 counties are divided into four separate provinces, which are the closest thing to states, I guess. But like Ireland itself is only the size of West Virginia. So let's be real here and sort of what I'm trying to say here.
Right.
And so he won like our province and he got, because he won our province, he got an invite to the All Ireland National Championship and competed. And I think he finished like top three, which is crazy because he was an American rolling in, playing an Irish drum.
Wow.
It was really great. He was pretty proud of that. And so recently, and I say recently, this was probably like closing in on 10 years ago now, he decided he wanted to try to play guitar again. And he actually owns two pretty nice Fender Stratocasters. So... and one of them he had to have like rebuilt. He played it so much that like all the, what are they called? The bridges on the neck of the guitar, like all the, I think that he had to have it rebuilt, like redone. 'Cause he'd worn it all down playing it so much. Dang. But he loves like, he does all like old, like Van Halen and ZZ Top and, why am I drawing a blank on his name? He's a really good guitarist. My dad really loves him. I want to say like what is the obvious descriptor of him, but I feel like it'll sound bad, but the really, really famous African-American guitarist. Why can I not think of his name? I'm so bad with names.
What's tonight. The song?
I mean, he did tons of songs. Like he did a version of All Along the Watchtower and, I wish I could. You can start Googling while I keep talking, but he's really more into like that sort of era of
Jimi Hendrix.
Thank you. Oh my God. Why could I not think of Jimmy? I'm telling you, I'm so bad with names tonight. I don't know what the deal is.
You could have said the 60s guy, and I would have been like, oh, Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, well, I don't know what era.
Like the national anthem. Yeah.
I mean, Jimi Hendrix is phenomenal guitar. I love his version of like All Along the Watchtower and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's what my dad mostly plays on his guitars. So
does he have that same sound? Like the old school electric guitar?
Yeah. Yeah. No, my dad's pretty good. I mean it's no like, you know, professional guitar player, but I mean he's really good. I think he's pretty good at least.
Yeah. So, nice.
I mean, he's clearly musically inclined considering he won a competition before.
Oh, but, yeah.
I always wish that I had gotten that from him. I would love to be able to play music.
Well, get yourself a real guitar. Not this one, because this one's autographed by Seven Dust and Neverset. For those that are listening, I'm pointing at one of my guitars that's actually sitting behind me. Get you a real guitar and buy Rocksmith. I promise you, you won't regret it. Because the way it works is like you don't turn on expert mode like I have it. Like mine's just on expert mode, period. Because I'm at that level. Mm-hmm. Not bragging or anything, but like whenever you have to do it like the way you're gonna do it, it's very boring for me and I get very irritated. It's like I need to know what I'm supposed to do right away.
Right.
But since you don't know what you're doing, more or less, it guides you through it. You know, it starts off real easy, teaching you simple notes, and then it teaches you the chords as the song's going. And so you see it coming just like the Rock Band and Guitar Hero Highways. You see the notes coming where you need to put your fingers, what string you need to be on. I mean, it's the same concept, except over time, you'll get more advanced. You'll learn the chords because it's going to tell you, you know, 1, 2, and 3 on the, like on the fretboard and on, you know, the 4th, 5th, and 6th fret, stuff like that. Eventually you'll get to that point to where you'll just know where you're at and know which fret, which strings you need to press. But at the beginning, it's going to teach you note by note, like this, the simple way to do it. So that's what I would suggest to you is like, you don't have to spend like $500 like I spent on this guitar over here, like one of the ones that I sent that you saw in one of my pictures. You don't need to do that. You can just buy you just a regular Gibson or Fender or something that's not like over the top, and just so you can learn.
Maybe I'll have to think about it someday. Find some time in my day, and maybe that's my way in. I don't know. I don't necessarily understand and hear notes the way that like people who learn to play instruments can, but maybe that's something you can get to by practice. Maybe I'm selling myself short.
Okay, here we go. I looked at Guitar Center while you're saying that.
Of course you did.
I found a Jackson guitar, $200. It's blue. You have the option of blue, white, or black. I prefer blue. It's simple, straight to the point. You don't need to change the pickups just like I did mine, because all mine are aftermarket. You don't need to change anything. Just get your strap, start playing.
Just $200. That's all that's between me and learning to play the guitar, right?
Yep. $200 and time.
And time, yeah. How much is that worth to me? That's an interesting one.
It's invaluable.
Invaluable. No dollar value assigned. All right, well, anything else on Rocksmith before I talk about the gunk?
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right, well, I played and finished all in 1 week the gunk. So I talked about this game back in December when it was first coming out. But the gunk is the latest game from a studio called Image and Form. And they are the same studio that developed SteamWorld Dig, SteamWorld Dig 2, SteamWorld Heist, and SteamWorld Quest, which are really interesting games in and of themselves because they're all 2D and they're all based in the same world, the SteamWorld and world, but they are all different genres. Well, SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Dig 2 obviously are the same genre. You're mining, collecting resources, going back up to the top, you know, leveling up your gear, going back down through the mine, and there's a story and there's bosses and stuff like that. But then like SteamWorld Quest is like a totally different game. It's more of like a 2D XCOM type game. And then SteamWorld Quest is actually like a card game. It's like a tactical RPG card-based type game. So they're all different genres. So it's really interesting how they kind of spread out. Well, The Gunk is their first attempt at a 3D game. And it was, thinking back on it now, it's actually kind of a mining game. So you go into a level. The level is not colored right. There's this the gunk that's all over everything. And you go and suck it up with your little vacuum glove and you clean it all up. And once you've cleaned it all up, the environment goes back to full color. The plants grow again. Eventually, like you start collecting resources, right? As you're cleaning up the gunk, you end up collecting more resources, and then you go back to your base camp and you level up your equipment so you can do things better. Very similar to SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2, but on a 3D level. But then obviously, then there's also enemies that you encounter. And then there's a story that you're progressing. You're progressing through this alien planet that you've landed on that you're trying to mine for resources. And you start stumbling on remnants of an alien civilization, and you're trying to figure out what was going on there. And there's also the story between the two characters, the main character that you play as and her partner on the ship, which it's never really clear if they're just friends or if there's something more to it or if they're just business partners or whatever. That definitely feel like there's something more to it that they never really get into. But so you kind of got this story, and you got the story of the world that you're in and the environment that you're going through and learning about this ancient lost alien civilization. And I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. It was like, I think I did like everything. Basically, I've got all the achievements, everything. I played it on Xbox. It's on Game Pass, so you can play it for free on Xbox. But I did everything, like all the achievements, everything, finished the story in right under 5 hours. So it's a relatively short game, but I definitely had a good time with it. There's something sort of cathartic about, you know, cleaning up this world and seeing what happens when you clean it up. There's also some minor platforming and environmental puzzles that go on with it, and how you clean up the environments and where you go. And, you know, you have to upgrade your little vacuum gloves so that you can shoot or emit light pulses, and then you can turn on. So there are like these, there are these like lights or gate keys, I guess, that you can like shoot, and you hit it and it opens doors. Sometimes you have to do something to open up access to that light so that you can shoot it and open the door to the next area. So it's just minor environmental puzzles, minor combat. None of the combat was, I mean, I like never died. I literally never died in this game. So it's not in any way challenging from that perspective. But there's minor combat, there's minor story puzzle, there's minor platforming. All in all, just sort of a kind of a fun little thing between games. You know, I needed something to cleanse the palate, so to speak, after Halo Infinite, and everything I did in that game. And right. So, you know, I enjoyed my 5 hours with it. I think Image and Form as a studio really show a lot of promise. They're a very, very small indie studio, and their ability to kind of continue to make different types of games and make them well and make them fun to play is really impressive, I think. Like I said, I've played every game they've come out with. This is their fifth game. I've played every single one of them to 100% completion. And I really recommend, I mean, if you're looking for like a quality indie type game that's on the lower level of cost, the lower level of time to finish, you know, a palate cleanser between games, they're a really quality studio. Not on the same level as like Supergiant, who are putting out Hades, which was, you know, we talked about that last week and how much I loved Hades. So maybe not on the same level as them, but there's a lot of talent at Image and Form. And I think this game continues to show it. I ran into zero issues with the game in terms of technical issues. Like no bugs, no clipping, no crashing, nothing. Like this game ran immaculately, which is always really good. Especially with indie games, sometimes you run into more issues. But no, they put together an immaculate game. And like I said, it's in Game Pass, so you can check it out. You know, for no extra cost if you already have Game Pass. But yeah, I mean, the basic loop is you go into a level, you clean up all the gunk. Sometimes as you're cleaning up the gunk, you uncover like some of the enemies, and you deal with them. You finish cleaning up the gunk. It opens up the environment. Once it opens up the environment, then you have all the resources you can collect. You collect the resources. You solve maybe the little environmental puzzle to open the next area. Then you go back to your base camp, upgrade your stuff, then go out again and do the next area. That's sort of the loop. And then, like I said, it's 5 hours. There are a couple of boss fights. Like there's like a mid-game boss fight and an in-game boss fight. Again, nothing too crazy either on that front in terms of combat. And there is definitely a story to this game, and there's definitely a point to the story. Now, it's a pretty basic story of, you know, friendship, or maybe more than friendship, and hardship, and how you handle running your own business when things are tight. And then also there's sort of a broader story, or I guess commentary on society and worlds in general, and how, you know, we can be manipulated or things like that. I don't want to go too far into it because I don't want to spoil anything of some of the big surprises in the game. But there's an interesting story there, but nothing like you haven't really seen before, I guess. So, you know, I don't want to sell it too far, but I don't know. Yeah. I guess, you know, just to rate this game, I would definitely give it 3 tryhards. It's a good game. I thought it was a great palate cleanser. So if you need a palate cleanser between big games, definitely check this one out. The Gunk is what it's called. It's pretty good, and it's on Game Pass. Nice. And then the only other thing I finally was like, I've got to get back to Far Cry 6. I've got to finish this game so I can move on to other things, and I can have this cloud like off of me. And it's not that like I feel like I have to play the game. I want to play the game. It is so much fun. Far Cry 6 is a really, really good game. But it's just this game that I keep pushing off and I haven't finished it. So I want to see what the story has to say. I want to see how it all ends. I want to see the other environments because I've only really been on the western side of the island so far. I haven't gone to like the center and the eastern side of it. So I finally went back to it yesterday and I was playing it for another like hour and a half. And so I think I've got it hooked on me again. And I think that's what I'm going to play now because I don't have anything that I want to play until Horizon Forbidden West comes out in the middle of February. So I'm like, Far Cry 6, you and me, we're going to do this. We're going to finish. We're going to get to the end. And we're going to see what it has to offer. So nice. That's what I've been up to.
Cool. I have a question though. You said that the gunk was, you didn't notice any bugs in it, right?
Yes, correct.
And this is a 5-hour game?
Yep.
If I remember right, there is an article talking about it and that someone took a little bit longer to play it. And at the 6th hour, it actually had a bug. Obviously, I'm kidding. I just wanted to point that out. So,
I don't know how you could take 6 hours to play this game.
I know.
It has an internal clock, and I think mine was at 4 hours and 45 minutes or something. And like wow. I said, I did everything. I did all the achievements, scanned all the objects, got all the upgrades for my weapons or for my glove thing. It's not. I guess it acts as a weapon, but it's like this glove that she wear. Well, she lost her arm. You find this out very early on in the game, so it's not a spoiler. But she's missing her arm, and instead she has this big power glove that she puts on, and she uses it to like shoot the light beams or use the vacuum thing to suck up the gunk, and like it's just your tool, your weapon or tool, I guess, that you use in the game.
Like the Nintendo power glove.
Actually, yeah, it's just like it's nice. Maybe not a great, maybe a kind of a good comparison is kind of what it looks. I mean, it's this giant thing. It's not even a glove because she doesn't put her hand into it, right? Like it like connects onto the end of her arm, and then it's like a prosthetic like machine hand thing that she does. But it's like giant. It's like bigger than her head. It's enormous. It's weird looking, proportionally speaking. And the art style is pretty good too. I mean, there's nothing like hugely unique about it, but it looks decent. So, I mean, I definitely enjoyed playing the game visually speaking as well.
Nice.
Cool deal. All right. Should we move on to the news of the show?
Let's do it.
All right. So here we go. We've got the news roundup and there's a couple decent sized stories here. So let's kick it off with number one. Grand Theft Auto parent Take-Two has announced its intention to acquire mobile games giant Zynga in a deal worth, wait for it, $12.7 billion. That's four times as much as Star Wars was bought by Disney, and almost twice as much what Microsoft paid for Bethesda. $12.7 billion, the biggest ever actually in the games industry. The deal will see the combination of Take-Two's blockbuster console and PC franchises, including GTA, Borderlands, NBA 2K, and BioShock, merged with Zynga's hugely popular social gaming brands like Farmville and Words with Friends. I did not realize that Farmville still existed. I think that started out as like a Facebook game maybe, or even probably before that, it was probably like a browser-based game.
Yeah.
I didn't know this thing still existed. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. How long has Farmville been going? Like 15, 20 years now?
Yes, something like that.
That's crazy to me.
I just don't understand the amount, like why?
I mean, that shows you how much money is in mobile gaming.
Yeah,
because people don't pay for the game; they get in for free, and they get nickeled by all of these microtransactions in the games. And it just shows you how much money is in that.
I'm looking at the catalog of games for Zynga. There is a game called Sleep Well, and the icon is, it looks like a guy who slipped at the end of a bowling lane.
Okay.
Like, because you see the pins, like, between his legs and he's just laying out all sprawled out. And I'm like,
I don't know what you do and sleep well, but apparently you get frisky with some bowling pins.
Apparently. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'm blown away by the amount. I mean, that's crazy. Also, big moves again. We see consolidation happening, and I think when you see that Take-Two are spending that much money on something that it's trying to acquire, I think this should really put to rest any possibility of Take-Two being acquired by anybody, particularly Xbox. I know that we had talked about the possibility at various times last year that was mentioned and rumored in some various gaming stories, but I think it's pretty clear now that Take-Two Interactive, they plan to go out on their own. They plan to become one of these giants in gaming, and I don't think we should even consider the possibility of them being purchased at this point.
No, not with a purchase like this.
Yeah, for sure. Furthermore, in a statement, Take-Two said the acquisition would establish it as, quote, one of the largest and most diversified mobile game publishers in the industry, end quote. Zynga has more than 183 million monthly active users across its mobile games. The company said Zynga's expertise will help it drive its free-to-play and cross-platform ambitions and help it bring Take-Two's console PC properties to the mobile space and add new game modes. So I guess we're going to see Grand Theft Auto for phones in the not too distant future. So
that makes me sad.
That makes you sad. Yeah. We're not going to get GTA 6. We're going to get GTA Mobile.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, certainly we'll see GTA on phones at some point, like a specific mobile version of GTA. It's going to happen. Maybe they'll bring GTA online or something, sort of like Fortnite. You can play Fortnite on phones too, but you're going to see some form of Grand Theft Auto on mobile devices.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anything more on this, or should we move on to number two?
I don't know. Like, I just don't see the point of buying that much stuff in mobile games, but all the more power to you if you do. I mean, I play mobile games all the time, but I won't do microtransactions.
Yeah, but see, I think...
Do you think ads could be part of that?
No, I mean, I 100% think it's microtransactions. And there's this term, what do they call them? Whales, I think is what they term them. You know, basically... For every 100 people like you and me that don't spend any microtransactions, or I'm making up a number now, but I think it's every, you know, every so many, right? 100, 1,000 of people like us, there is what they call a whale that will literally spend the same amount. Like, they'll spend enough to cover for all of those people that didn't spend anything. You know, they'll spend $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 on these mobile games.
Yeah, I could see that.
And so I think there's just a lot of money to be made in the gaming space. I mean, we did do that episode where we looked at the market shares, and mobile gaming is bigger than console gaming. So, you know, there is a lot of money there, especially in China.
China.
China. All right. Number two, Microsoft has announced that they quietly stopped manufacturing all Xbox One consoles by the end of 2020, or at the end of 2020. The software giant originally discontinued the Xbox One X and the digital Xbox One S ahead of the Xbox Series X launch, and then the Xbox One S at the end of 2020, leaving retailers to sell out their remaining stock. That would be the Xbox One S disc version. So there was like three different versions of that console. They said this was to, quote, focus on production of Xbox Series X and S. We stopped production for all Xbox One consoles by the end of 2020. That's from Cindy Walker, Senior Director of the Xbox Console Product Marketing. Microsoft's confirmation comes just as Bloomberg report suggested that Sony had planned to end PS4 production at the end of 2020, but instead will now continue to manufacture around another 1 million PS4 consoles in 2022. Sony confirmed PS4 production is still ongoing amid struggles by both Microsoft and Sony to meet demand for their latest Xbox Series X and PS5 consoles. Microsoft, though, seems to be able to meet demand for the $299 Xbox Series S. And speaking after the launch of the Series X S console in 2020, Xbox chief Phil Spencer told The Verge that the company had built more Xbox Series X consoles than the Series S, but that ultimately the lower price point of the Series S would win out. Quote, we can actually build more of the Series S chips in the same die space as we can the Series X. That is the key reason for why we're seeing steady Xbox Series S stock. So I don't know, if just an interesting story, because if we go back to sort of everything that we talked about leading up to the release of the consoles, you know, Microsoft talked about wanting to support cross-gen and that transition, and PlayStation basically like made fun of them in their marketing, saying that we believe in generations, right? And here we have Microsoft are much more moving on to the next generation. They've got games coming out this year that we know of that are Xbox Series X exclusive games that are not on natively, at least, the Xbox One console. Whereas PlayStation, you know, they've got Horizon Forbidden West, they've got Gran Turismo 7, they've got the new God of War. All of those are cross-platform games, and PlayStation are still trying to manufacture and sell PlayStation 4s. So it's just really interesting to see how these two companies have, like, from the start of the generation to now, and how they sort of swapped positions, and nobody's really talking about it. And I just think, I personally find this as an interesting thing to observe from the outside, from the two major players in the console space.
Yeah, because whenever Sony said that they were all about generations, I was like, yeah, me too, because I like having all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's just flipped, it's like you said, it's interesting. Like, I didn't expect Xbox to do what they're doing now, that's for sure.
Right. Do you think that maybe the Series X is doing better than Microsoft ever really expected it to? And that Game Pass is doing better than they were, you know, even had hoped it would be doing?
Yeah, I honestly think that, like, they wanted to do something similar to what PlayStation was doing with their PlayStation Plus, and they just happened to have the model that was the right thing at the right time for the people who needed to save money.
Yeah. Like, and Microsoft had the capital to be able to fund doing something like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think they kind of knew it would be semi-successful. I don't think that they knew it would take off the way it did.
Yeah. And I mean, I certainly think that I believe that these companies expected some of these production shortages to resolve sooner than they have.
Yeah.
And I think that when we see articles, I mean, again, we talked about this show on the show not too long ago about how Intel are saying, like, hey, like, these chip shortages are going to last like through 2022. Like, don't be surprised if it's not until like into 2023 where we start seeing the market settle back down from a chip perspective. And I think that's part of what you're seeing here is like Sony are like, shit, like, we need to be able to keep selling consoles. And, you know, maybe if we, I mean, I think the idea is that they've got these three big games coming out this year that they have cross-platform, and they want consoles in stores to be able to sell to people when those games come out. And they can't get PS5s in stores, but they might be able to get PS4s in stores. Right. And I think that's what you're seeing. Whereas on the flip side, Xbox do have Series S consoles in stores. I frequently go into even my local Target and I see Xbox Series S on the shelf. So you can buy the $300 console in store. So maybe, you know, this is a benefit that Microsoft have of having launched two consoles at very disparate price points, that they can actually have a next gen console in stores where Sony can't. I think it's very interesting, honestly.
Yeah. But, you know, it's unfortunate where we're at now, especially with the chip stuff. Like, it's affecting so many things, but Xbox seemed to be doing okay.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think, again, they're one of those that are just slowly still doing better and better, you know, month on month, just building. You know, they're not, I mean, if you were to look at it from a graph, they're still a long way from where PlayStation's at, but I think they're just continually just steadily growing, and that's a positive sign for the industry, because if we can have these two giants competing, they will bring the best out of each other.
Yeah, unless Microsoft is the one that brought out the the virus, and they just stockpiled all the chips.
That's some next level conspiracy shit right there.
Yeah, it is.
I think we need a new podcast name if we're going to go down that road.
Yeah, that was just for fun. That's not a real thought I had. I just wanted to make fun of the whole situation.
No, that's great. I love it. All right, let's move on to number three. And speaking of the companies pushing each other to be the better selves, Sony has reportedly instructed retailers to pull PlayStation Now cards from sale by January 21st. That's next week. The decision to discontinue PlayStation Now retail cards follows a report that Sony plans to merge its game streaming services into fellow subscription service offering PlayStation Plus. So PlayStation Now will no longer be its own thing. They're going to merge it into PlayStation Plus. According to documents seen by Bloomberg, the new service is codenamed Spartacus and will combine the current PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now services, phasing out the branding of the latter. It's expected to launch for PS4 and PS5 this spring and be structured across three payment tiers. The first tier will reportedly include existing PlayStation Plus benefits, such as online play and free monthly titles. The second tier will offer a large catalog of games, just like Xbox Game Pass, although not first-party titles at launch. And the third tier will add extended demos, game streaming, and a library of classic PlayStation games. So yeah, maybe we are moving ever closer to seeing this, quote, Game Pass competitor from PlayStation.
Yeah, we're getting even closer to find out how much we're going to be screwed on our monthly subscriptions.
Yeah, let's really hope it's not like Nintendo, where it's like, hey, you know that really good deal, like $20 a year for our Nintendo service? We'll add another 50 just to play N64 games.
Yeah.
It's
probably going to be that.
Irks me. Like, I haven't got that part of the service, even though I want to play some of these N64 games, just because of how expensive it is.
Yeah. I'm like, honestly, I've gotten to the point to where I'm like, I'll just download a N64 emulator, just play it illegally. I mean, it's not ethical, but at the same time, I don't have that kind of money.
Well, and at the same time, there is not actually a way to go and pay Nintendo for some of these games that you can just download and buy on your Switch. I mean, yeah, there's a set, some of them that are available in that service that you could pay a monthly fee for, but there's not really any way for a lot of these games to just go to Nintendo and say, here's $20 for a copy of Super Mario 64 or whatever, right?
Yeah, or 007 with the badass music.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we shall see. Hopefully we're not too far away from hearing what PlayStation has to offer on this front. Maybe around the time of Horizon Forbidden West, we'll start hearing more about this.
Yeah, maybe. But please, please, God, don't let it be an absurd amount of money. That's all I ask.
Yeah, that is true. I would really appreciate it if I could afford it. That would be great. Yeah. All right, moving on to number four, and kind of an interesting story that cropped up over this past weekend. Dying Light 2 developer Techland faced a bit of backlash when it proudly claimed it would take 500 hours to complete its latest open-world zombie title. At the time, the Polish studio quickly issued a follow-up tweet explaining that's how long it would take to, quote, max out the game. And now it has posted yet more clarification. In short, you don't need to worry. Techland says it'll take roughly 20 hours to complete a single playthrough of the main story. It's when you start tacking on extra content that the completion time starts to balloon. According to the latest tweet, if you would like to follow the core campaign to its finale and then go on to finish every single side quest, you're looking at about 80 hours of game time. It just was really funny. Like, they put out this tweet with this like super image of like 500 hours of content, and everybody was like, wait a minute, that's holy shit. Like, what? No, I don't want to play your game for 500 hours. And so they had to like really do all these like backtrack tweets where they're like, oh no, it's only like 20 hours for the campaign. And like a normal playthrough for most people is going to be like 60 to 80 hours. And it's just really funny because, you know, like their marketing team thought that like, if we say we have 500 hours of content, people are going to love this, right? No.
No. Well, let me ask you, Phil, like, since you are a completionist, if the 500 hours is true, is that something you would complete?
I would literally not even start this game if that was true.
Like, 80 hours is more your play, right? Not 500.
Like, I think that the perfect length for like completing an entire open world game is around the 50 hour mark. Mm.
I think like once you get beyond that, because like that means that you're probably completing the story and everything in about 25 to 30 hours, and then finishing up all the rest of the extra content and side missions and stuff is like another 25 to 30 hours. So that puts you in this range of 50 to 60 hours. I think like that is sort of like the perfect amount of time for a good open world game like that. You get beyond that and you overstay your welcome, you lose track of the story, all that kind of stuff. You get basically Assassin's Creed Valhalla and the problems that it suffered from. The Far Cry games are typically in more of that 35 to 45 hour range. PlayStation are pretty good about putting like the first Horizon Zero Dawn game was, I platinumed that game in about 50 hours, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's about the right amount of content time. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, let's say you play 2 hours a day, right? And you can game on average 5 days a week. You know, you, maybe you're going out to the movies one night or hanging out with your wife another night or something, right? So that's about an average of 10 hours a week that you can like really dedicate to a game like that. And so if it takes you 50 to 60 hours, you're playing that game for a month and a half before you finish it. Mm-hmm. And that's a long time to be in something like that. So that's why I think 50 to 60 hours is sort of right around the right target for games like this. If you want Philip Keeney's quote unquote professional opinion.
So with that same math, 500 hours, 10 hours a week, is that 50 weeks?
10 times 50 would be, yeah, would be 500.
So it would, if you were to complete this game, it would take you the whole year.
Yeah. There's 52 weeks in a year, so yeah.
Golly.
Crazy, right?
That is that's redonk. That's redonkulous.
Yeah. So thankfully, that's apparently not true. I think there are different decisions you can make in this game. So there are multiple different endings. And I think that's where they're getting this number. But I think part of it is they're like, if you play the whole game for all different endings, that's 80 times 4 or whatever. And that's where they're getting close to this 500 hour mark. And I'm like, who does that? Even if you played through for other endings, you would like, once you did the whole game, then you would just play just for the endings. You wouldn't play everything again 4 times.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat doesn't even do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I thought this story was funny because it just shows you how potentially out of touch some of these marketing teams are.
Yeah. That's, yeah, they're out of touch.
All right. Number 5 in our last topic of this week for the news. There has been a follow-up on the Days Gone sales number story that we covered last week. In fact, speaking on Twisted Metal creator David Jaffe's YouTube channel, Jeff Ross clarified that his source for these sales numbers was a defunct website called GameStat, which effectively tracked trophy data to calculate a rough number of players. In this instance, used copies, PS Plus versions, and rentals would also contribute to that 8 million figure. The true sales number is likely a lot lower, even if the game was clearly still successful. I just thought this was worth bringing up because we did put a lot of effort into this story last week and covering it, suggesting that potentially Days Gone had sold somewhere close to 10 million copies and was maybe a better seller than Ghost of Tsushima. It seems like that is probably not quite the case. Although Jeff Ross did come on Twitter later and say that he stood by his numbers, mm-hmm. I just think that you're not looking at true sales figures out of Sony. He's trying to extrapolate data from somewhere else. And so I just think it's worth clarifying that maybe the real number is maybe somewhere around 6 or 7 million copies total, not what Jeff Ross is suggesting, close to 10 million.
Yeah. And the fact that he says, I stand by my numbers, that shows the ignorance that he has.
Like, yeah.
Like, it's like saying, yeah, I know this guy's green and I stand by my decision. Like, no, dude, that's you're wrong.
right. Yeah, exactly. So he's just kind of digging his heels in a little bit there. I am interested. He's supposed to be on the Sacred Symbols podcast this week with an interview with their host, Colin Moriarty. And so I'm interested to see and hear more about what he has to say on that show. Clearly, this guy has an axe to grind with Sony, and he's got an NDA that has finally ended, and he's like going on all kinds of shows this week, David mm-hmm. Jaffe's and now Sacred Symbols. But it still will be interesting to hear what he has to say about this whole situation. We don't get a lot of insight into these kinds of goings on and the machinations of what happens out behind the scenes of these studios. So we'll be interesting at least to hear what he has to say.
Well, if his NDA expired, maybe we can call him up and be like, yo, you want to be on another podcast?
Yeah. Come bitch about Sony here. We love Game Pass.
Yeah. We're still going to say you're full of shit about the numbers, but yeah, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, that'd be really cool to talk to a game developer like that, but.
Oh yeah.
All right. Anything else to say on this topic?
Just that he's an idiot.
Yeah, at least have the stones to kind of step back and go, oh, maybe my number is a little bit higher than the true nature of it is. But
yeah.
All right. Well, let's get over into our sort of, other topic for tonight. And that is, I want to talk through a Sony blog article that came out on January 12th. So that's a little yesterday. We're recording on Thursday, January 13th. So this article came out yesterday, which would have been a Wednesday or a couple days ago as you're listening to the show. But it is PlayStation Store's top downloads of 2021. So these are the games that were most purchased and downloaded from the PlayStation Store. So I guess you could say best-selling digital games on PlayStation for 2021, but not necessarily overall best-selling games of 2021. But I think there's some interesting things that we can get out of this. We can glean from 2021's games. And so I'm going to read the list of PS5 games, Adam, and then we'll just kind of talk through maybe what are some of the interesting titles that we see on this list. Yeah. So I'm going to start at number one, and I'm going to go down the list of the 20 games here. So number one, NBA 2K22, then Call of Duty Vanguard, then Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, Madden NFL 22, Battlefield 2042, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, MLB The Show 21, Resident Evil Village, Far Cry 6, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, FIFA 22, Among Us, Mortal Kombat 11, NBA 2K21 Next Generation, It Takes Two, FIFA 21, Deathloop, Returnal, and Kena Bridge of Spirits. So those are your top 20 PlayStation 5 games in the U.S. for 2021. Where do we start here, Adam? What do you think is maybe the most interesting title here in terms of where it's placed?
Honestly, the number one pick is the most interesting thing for me. Just because, I know there's a lot of basketball fans, but that's the number one game on PlayStation 5.
Even over Madden.
Yeah, and Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was surprised by NBA 2K22. So the corresponding number one title from Europe was FIFA 22, which that actually doesn't surprise me considering how popular soccer is over there. But NBA 2K22 is the most popular game in the United States on PlayStation 5 for 2021.
Yeah. And that also shows the culture difference there too. You know, NBA USA and Europe is FIFA. You know, it's crazy. Like the only American sport that you see on the Europe side is where did I see it? It was number 13. That's the first one.
NBA 2K22 falls at 13.
Yeah.
On the European Union side.
And also Miles Morales rated higher in the U.S. than Europe, probably because they go by kilometers. Morales, like I said before, United States metric system is apparently more popular. But yeah, like that, that it's not that far off, but you know, there's more like Call of Duty, Madden, Spider-Man in the top five, and then the top five in Europe is FIFA and FIFA. Like they
yeah, yeah. Top five. Number one is FIFA 22 and number three is FIFA 21.
So, yeah. Like, yeah, that works.
Yeah. They love their soccer over there for sure, which this is where I'm going to drop my Easter egg. I think he's probably not have listened this far into the show, but I have a really good friend, soccer friend. He's from England and our two teams played today and they tied 0-0. And I have to agree with you, Adam, your team is shite. You're absolutely right. I agree with you. Congratulations on not beating 10-man Arsenal today. but I don't think he'll get an hour and 15 into the show, but there's my little Easter egg. I told him I would drop one. There it is. But yeah, they really love their soccer over there. But yeah, I was surprised. NBA 2K22, the biggest game. And I think actually this tells you something else about PS5 sales. Because remember, this is specifically PS5 games. A lot of people try to get you to believe that the first wave, the people that are buying the PlayStation 5 consoles first, are like your hardcore PlayStation fans, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd expect to see a lot of the big PlayStation titles up front, but you don't. You got Miles Morales at number three. You got Ratchet and Clank at number six. But then the next, big Sony exclusive is not until number 19 at Returnal. Mm-hmm. So it kind of shows you like NBA 2K22, Call of Duty Vanguard, Madden NFL 22, Battlefield 2042. Those are four of your top five. It's still like the sort of the I don't want to say average, but you're sort of, you know, you're much more
casual players.
Casual gamers are also still the ones buying PS5s. I think that's an interesting thing to take out of that.
Yeah. And also like, you know, NBA and Madden, those are technically party games. Like, you know, you get a group of friends together at the same house, you play multiple controllers. I mean, I can see that. That's probably why, because if this was all purchased during the pandemic, that makes sense. You know, hey, come over. If we can't go out, let's all play games.
Right. And I mean, Call of Duty Vanguard and Battlefield 2042, definitely social games as well. You play those with people.
Yeah. That's honestly what I think is really behind the top five, but I'm still really surprised NBA is number one. Like that threw me off when I first saw it.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, something else you can take out of that is a little bit of fall from grace for Call of Duty. PlayStation also revealed the top downloads for December 2021, and shockingly, Call of Duty Vanguard was third. So Call of Duty Vanguard released in November. So December is only its second month in sales, and it was third. It was behind Among Us and Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales for December 2021. So I think there's a little bit of fall from grace for Call of Duty Vanguard, honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe Activision need to take note. I don't know if that has to do with all the Activision controversy or if Call of Duty gamers are just saying, look, we don't like World War II games anymore. We want modern shooters. But whatever it is, I think Call of Duty's sales were a little bit lower than they typically are this past go around.
Yeah. And honestly, the last Call of Duty game that I actually played was actually World War II.
That's a long ass time ago.
Yeah. I remember streaming that for Extra Life when it came out. And I went through the whole game, finished it on the first day. Like I think I played half of it on that Friday and I played the other half and finished it on that Saturday. I mean, it was a good story, you know, dealing with the Holocaust and the way it ended. I liked it, but it's just, I don't want a lot of it. Like what you were saying, what people are probably wanting more modern gamers or modern shooters.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see that for sure.
I guess some other kind of interesting notes. So you get past like the sports games, right? You got NBA 2K22, you got Madden NFL 22, you got MLB The Show 21. Those three of your top eight. and you get the shooters, the co-op shooters out of the way, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Call of Duty Vanguard, Battlefield 2042. So that's another three of your top eight. So if you get beyond that, obviously you got Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales and you've got Ratchet and Clank. So that's good. Those two big first party single player games from Sony in the top eight. So looking at what you have just beyond that on the PlayStation Store, the number one sort of best-selling game on the PlayStation Store in terms of third-party single-player games, Resident Evil Village, ahead of Far Cry 6, ahead of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So Resident Evil Village, a big success for Capcom in 2021.
Yeah. Is that the one with that that girl with the hat?
Yeah, the big tall vampire lady.
Yeah.
With the giant boobs that everybody thirsted for last year.
Well, I mean, I never actually saw that part, but I've only saw like the actress like doing the voiceover outside of the studio.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I mean, that's why I knew about it. But I mean, I've seen gameplay, but I never noticed anything like what you described.
Yeah, people like nerds really fell for her. They were really like really into that tall giant vampire mommy character. I don't know. Gamer nerds are a bit weird, I guess, in that regards.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, she's supposed to be like 9 foot tall or something like that in the game. She's good the Lord. One that stalks you through the castle. Lady Dimitrescu.
That's I couldn't think of the name. Yes.
Yeah. Her voice actress actually won best female actress at the Game Awards.
Yeah, that's why I remember seeing like of her actually doing the voiceover stuff. Like it was really cool watching her do that.
Yep.
But that's the part of the game that interests me, like the acting part of it, not what she looked like in the game, because I wasn't paying attention to that.
Yeah,
it's like okay. Obviously that like the way I described her is actually how I viewed her, the one with the big hat.
Yeah, yeah, she does have a big hat. She also very much has big boobs too.
See, it never went past the chin for me.
She also, and I guess this is semi-spoiler, but you know, it's the game's been out for a while now. She also turns into like a crazy demonic spider fucking thing at the end of the boss fight and gets real messed up. It's pretty wild.
Okay, you're going to think I'm a huge nerd for referencing this, but there is a character on Digimon Season 2 that does the exact same thing. She is a vampire type.
Okay.
And turns into a spider type Digimon.
Like, so now we know where Capcom got its ideas, apparently.
Yeah, like that's 100% who that character is. Like, wow.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. No, I really liked Resident Evil Village. As I said last week when we were doing our 2021 games, Resident Evil Village was actually number three for me last year. My third favorite game of the year that I played, which really surprised me because you know me, I am not a horror type game player. So
that's true.
But yeah, we can see it sold really well. And then I think for me, the final piece that I wanted to point to was Returnal. Returnal at 19, just barely above Kena Bridge of Spirits and one below Deathloop, didn't do particularly well. And I think we kind of had pointed that out last year as we kind of saw sales numbers and how it was received. Returnal was not a particularly popular game on the PlayStation side. But their studio did get bought up by Sony, and so we'll see what they have next up with whatever they can do next.
Yeah. They're going to have Returnal Part 2, Return to Earnel.
Return to Earnel. I don't know how you could have a second Returnal game. I don't think you could sequelize that game. But I guess we'll see. Anything's possible, right?
Yeah, anything's possible.
Anything is possible. On the flip side, the PS4 sales, Grand Theft Auto 5, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Minecraft, NBA 2K22, Vanguard, NFL 22, NBA 2K21, Red Dead Redemption 2, MLB The Show 21, Mortal Kombat 11, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. There's multiple Call of Duties here in the top, whatever. Spider-Man Miles Morales is not until number 12. Then you got FIFA 22. The Forest, Jason and Mike would love that. The Forest was number 14, selling for PlayStation 4 last year. Need for Speed Heat, UFC 4, Ark, Survival Evolved, Gang Beasts. I don't even know what the fuck Gang Beasts is, but that was number 18. Rust Console Edition and Naruto to Boruto, Shinobi Striker. No idea what that is either. That was number 20 on the list. Interesting to see how many survival games are here. The Forest, Ark, Rust. That genre seems to be on the rise these days. So I know Mike and Jason would be happy for that.
Yeah. That Gang Beast, I've actually seen that. There's a YouTuber named Markiplier who played this game just like as a one-off thing, like, oh, this game is fun. And that was about it. So, I mean, I did recognize it. I just didn't know that's what it was called.
Hmm.
But, I mean, it seems very entertaining.
Well, there you have it. I still don't know what Gang Beasts is. I guess I'm going to have to look into it. And the number one free-to-play game is, of course, Fortnite. So, shocker there. But number three is Rocket League, which I love Rocket League. Everyone knows that. So, anything else on this, or have we kind of said our piece here?
I think we said our piece, but I think we need to say peace to Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, can we really get over Grand Theft Auto 5, please?
Yeah, that'd like
be great.
Yeah, like stop bouncing on the nuts. Let's go. Let's move on to something new.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, let's move on to the end of the show. Upcoming releases, we've got God of War for PC, January 15th. That's got to be January 14th. I must have wrote that down wrong. That's this week. Rainbow Six Extraction, January 20th. And that, as we pointed out last week, is coming to Game Pass day and date. So I'll check that out next week. Monster Hunter Rise for PC on January 22nd. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection for PS5 on January 28th. And Pokemon Legends Arceus on January 28th as well. Next week, I will start giving you your February releases so that you can start making your plans. But February is going to be a big month. A lot of big games coming out in February. Dying Light 2 is supposed to be out, the 500-hour game. Horizon Forbidden West is coming out next month. Elden Ring is coming out next month. So a lot of big games coming out in February. So I will give you your full release lineup on next week's show.
Nice.
Moving on to game announcements, IO Interactive has announced that a special Hitman trilogy will be released digitally on January 20th and will be available on Xbox Series XS, PS5, Xbox One, PS4, the Epic Game Store, and Steam. The trilogy will also be available as part of Xbox Game Pass for both console and PC on the day of release. So Game Pass players, they got the Mass Effect trilogy already. They've got Rainbow Six Extraction next week, and now also the Hitman trilogy next week to look forward to as part of their service. A lot of value there. Next up, Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl's release date has been delayed by over 7 months. Originally scheduled to be released on April 28, 2022, the game will now arrive on December 8th. In a statement, Ukrainian developer GSC Game World said the additional development time would enable it to thoroughly test and polish its biggest game yet. This game does look really freaking cool, and it's supposed to be a day and date release on Game Pass, console exclusive to Xbox Series X and S. Right. So something to look forward to here whenever it does come out. And then finally, Nintendo has released a new trailer for Kirby and the Forgotten Land and confirmed its release date. The game will be available on Nintendo Switch on March 23rd. The new trailer also shows off co-op gameplay for the first time, with player two able to control a bandana Waddle Dee, whatever the fuck that is, to help Kirby on his mission. So all you Nintendo Switch nerds out there, get yourself some Kirby and the Forgotten Land.
All right, I don't know why my brain read that as bad nana.
Yeah, I thought when I first like wrote the show, my brain kept seeing it as banana. And then as I was reading it, I was like, wait, it says bandana. And I'm glad I didn't say banana when I first read it out. All right, free games, Epic Stores, freeze titles, Galactic Civilization 3 from January 13th to 20th, and then Relicta from January 21st to 27th. Amazon's free to claim titles for January are still out there. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Total War, Warhammer, and World War Z Aftermath. PS Plus January titles are still out there. Deep Rock Galactic, Dirt 5, and Persona 5 Strikers. And then in Game Pass, as I mentioned, next week, Rainbow Six Extraction is coming to the service. And if you haven't already, you can go and download the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Also new this week was Spelunky 2 and the Anacrusis on Game Pass. So a lot of stuff out there for you to go check out. All right, Adam, that's it. That's all I've got. That's a wrap on the show.
Yeah, it seems that we've come to the end.
Anything else to say before we head out?
If you haven't watched Cobra Kai, go watch it.
Period. Go watch Cobra Kai. It's really good. Hopefully we didn't spoil it all for you at the start of the show.
I hope we did. If you haven't watched, that's on you.
All right, Adam, do you want to take us out? Send us home?
Sure thing. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the 78th episode of the TriCast Gaming Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Remember to like, subscribe, review on your podcasting app of choice. And if you have any questions for the show, DM us on Twitter, Facebook, or any social media platform. We will be back again next Friday with episode number 79. Have a great weekend, stay safe, and game hard.